Fletcher and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Fletcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Fletcher and Rich. If you want to know what was on the big sign that John felt so compelled to show Dan, it
you
was that...
You were talking. You didn't have to say anything.
But why did Dan have to know that Triardis was going to do the show in 20 minutes?
He wanted an answer during the last break before we came on for those 5 minutes, so I was answering him.
He doesn't have to know at all. I mean, all he has to do is call him.
Okay.
You could have said during the legal ID right before your headlines, hey, Giardi's good for 920.
Or you could have waited until after this break.
Yes, that's at 915, yes.
Just trying to funnel information along. All right. I won't do it again.
Please don't. All right, please don't. You also have a talkback button, don't you?
Yes, which cuts out your... Oh, that's right. We're in a new studio. So it doesn't cut out your headphones anymore.
But I appreciate that.
See what I've been trained to
do? No, I appreciate the consideration. All right, listen. We met a guy... actually, young Nicholas met a guy out in front of Fenway Park. There was two gentlemen, and just briefly, we'll play you a little bit of this.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can, but can you please let me back into the game, man?
I actually have no control of that.
Listen, my man. Hold on. Let me ask my boy. Yo, come off of it for the game, man.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Recording
the Red Sox. Yeah.
My name is Nick from 98.5
Sports. He is recording me, bro.
Wait, listen, you're going to record me. I am almost famous on Instagram. I've been with Fatboy SSC. I've been on all of them. I've been off videos that I've had 5 million views.
Let me ask him right now, why is he not accepting personnel right now?
You can't, really messed up. Kid, you got thrown out. You're done. They threw me out to wait you. You're done.
They did?
You're done. You're cut, kid. You're done.
They did? They really threw you out with me?
They gave you the...
They kind of threw you out.
They gave you the shaft. You're done.
So I can't flex for you and me, right?
You're done. He told him, you're done. Ugata fucking you. You're done.
So you're with me, right? I mean, if you want...
Do you know Mark Tremelli?
Mark who?
Never mind. What's your name?
My name's Sexy Motherfucking Pesci on Instagram.
All right, so Sexy Pesci, we met him, and now he says he's on the line. Okay. Hello, is this Sexy Pesci?
I'm on the air with Touchy and Richie, ain't I?
All right, so did you call in as someone's dad earlier?
No, my father wouldn't call.
No, it's your friend. You called as pretending to be someone's dad.
No, that wasn't me.
All right, is it true that you used to go to school on Fridays in velour suits?
Every Friday. Actually, more than a couple days a week, to be honest.
Okay. All right, and then Friday was suit
Fridays
day?
Were particularly Brioni suit days from New York.
What's that weird sound that just happened on the phone?
My phone's actually blowing up because Sexy Petchy's on Touchy and Richie here.
All right, so on Fridays you would wear a suit?
Yeah.
All right, what do you do for a living?
I'm trying to get big on the gram, you know?
That's not a very good living. I don't think you can make a lot of money from that. Now, by getting big on the gram, what have you done in your quest? Because I would argue that this definitely gave you a bump. A lot of people, I'm sure, checked you out. But up to this point where you were on our show, what had you done to become an Instagram superstar?
I'm trying one video at a time, man, you know?
Okay, so are you like, what are they called in marketing? You're like an influence maker? You're an
influencer.
You're an influencer.
Yeah, you could say that.
What's the best video you made? The one that you're the most proud of?
Probably the one me calling somebody out in Barstool Sports. Probably the best one yet.
Okay.
I was supposed to fight on Rough and Rowdy, but that didn't work out too well.
Okay. Sexy Pesci, you're a lot more fun when you're drunk.
Oh, you want to take me for a beer on your dollar? How about that?
Okay, Sexy Pesci. Right, thank you for calling in.
Appreciate it.
Wow. That was not so fun.
People who like want a career out of being internet famous, not a lot of money in that. There's very few ninjas out there. There's very few Kardashians out there. Other than that...
Or you have to be really good looking. I mean, really, really good looking.
Yeah.
And then, but in a female. Not a lot of dudes.
Not a lot of dudes Instagram famous. No.
I'm going to say that.
By the way, okay, so we are We are hearing now from, this is from yesterday. Josh Gordon is healthy enough to play. So he is healthy enough to play.
Yes. Just saying that. Miraculously.
Touchy and Richie here. Oh!
Miraculously, after 24 hours, mm-hmm. he's all of a sudden ready to play. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, just make a comment about Josh Gordon and his story or whatever you want to call it. Just closely reminds me of Ricky Williams, you know? He got a pretty talented player who just, you know, can't stay off the green.
Yep. I mean, the weed stuff is a little ridiculous. I don't know why the league comes down on people like that.
Well, I think the thing that made me the most excited about it potentially working is you heard Troy Brown earlier on our show yesterday when we asked him about it, say that he's the most talented guy he has seen since Randy Moss. And Randy Moss himself was asked about the potential of things working here in New England with Josh Gordon.
One thing that I will tell you that Josh Gordon needs to hear, those guys in that locker room is going to embrace Josh Gordon. Devin McCourty, captain. You got Matthew Slater. And then last but not least, number 12, Tom Brady, is going to embrace Josh Gordon because he's been wanting a weapon, a big, tall weapon, 6'3"-ish. Freakish talent to be able to go out and make those plays. You look at what Ocho Cinco was unable to do there. Now you're bringing in another receiver, and I'm not talking, not saying that they're similar, but Josh McDaniels runs a very sophisticated offense. And Matt, just like you said, if he picks it up, man, y'all better look out in New England.
And I'm just
okay. We're doing something that every radio consultant tells you never to do, and that's we're going to do three topics back and forth because I got to jump into this. I'm sorry. We're going to go from Sexy Pesci to Josh Gordon to Jason Tatum's ridiculous tattoos that he just got. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Jason Tatum just tweeted out two photos, two tattoos that he got. Now, these go from just below the crotch all the way down to the kneecap.
Both thighs.
Both thighs.
A really good place to get them, too. That's whenever a girl has tattoos like that, you just say next.
Yeah, you're obviously not going to see him underneath his basketball shorts. Although if they go to, they would go all the way under his knees. So
why would you get them on your thighs?
I have maybe when he wears bikini underwear, the world would know. I have no idea.
Such a weird place to get them.
He goes to a European bathing pool. I don't know.
He's just like, you know what I need is I need a little art on these here hammocks.
So the one on the right is fine. It's a picture of it looks like him wearing a baseball jersey.
It's a St. Louis Cardinals baseball hat, and it looks like a Cardinals jersey with the name Tatum and Zero on
it. Tatum and a zero, and then it's got him.
He's a Cardinal fan?
He grew up in St. Louis.
Yeah, see, what I would do is get a massive tattoo of myself in a uniform. Because if you saw someone who wasn't Jason Tatum with that, you would want to lobotomize them.
Well, I guess in this case, he is a professional athlete, so it gives him a little bit of something.
Sure. So why not? Just like you can pretend that you're on the team.
He's holding a baby, which I'm assuming is his son, and it says, like, father, like son. Understood. Okay, that one's fine. And then on the left.
We're giving him a pass on the Cardinals? This one
well,
on the
hold
left.
On. It connects with the next
one. Because this one on the left must be pretty bad.
It connects with the other one. So the other one on the left, and remember, this takes up his entire thigh. And it has a mushroom cloud on it. And it says, St. Louis till the world blows.
It's like the Cro-Mags cover to Age of Quarrel.
And you know who else likes that mushroom cloud?
It's me, Mario.
It would be Mr.
Hello.
So he's going to say, is that a photo of Trump's unit?
It is an entire mushroom cloud that takes up the whole thigh. And it is St. Louis till the world blows. So there you go. And if you're getting that at 19, at 25, this dude's going to be tatted up all over
all
the
right,
place.
Let me see the one in the uniform.
Okay, the uniform one's fine. Now, I will say this.
He got a tattoo of himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's him holding
in a Tatum. In a Tatum uniform, Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, but he got a tattoo of himself.
Yes. But he's holding his son.
He got a tattoo of himself.
I mean, that is a good point.
I have my children's names tattooed on me. I don't have one that says, and Fred.
Other than Steve-O, I really don't know anybody who's gotten a tattoo of himself.
And Steve-O, it was kind of a joke.
He did it as a joke. It's like his face on the back with a thumbs up. Like, yeah, dude.
And he signed it.
He signed his own tattoo. Of himself. That is a bit strange. Now, okay, is it an awful tattoo standing alone, the one with the mushroom cloud? Sure. Is it the worst tattoo that an athlete's ever had? It's not even universe.
Well, the friend's tattoo on Kyrie Irving is pretty bad, too.
Oh, you see, that one is so bat crap crazy, I like it. Now, the Decepticons tattoo on the neck of J.R. Smith is fantastic because they asked him why he had it, and he said, well, because I like the second Transformers movie.
Which is almost
not the first one, but the second one.
Just almost unexcusable.
And let's set a record for topics in one break. Let's go to line four, shall we? Because I got to hear what this guy has to say about
it. You can take it off the air because we have to get to Mike Giardi.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Mike Giardi's on next.
All right. Mike Giardi is on next. We'll have him.
95 The Sports Hub. Not too long after I got arrested for possession of marijuana at Baylor, one of my coaches, he came by saying, you're going to get drug tested by the compliance office. This is how it's going to work. This is what they're going to do. If they do call you in, here goes these bottles of detox. He showed me how to drink them, showed me how to take them. And that was, I think, my real first experience with, like, getting over on the system and that authority not really being taken serious, because it was kind of being guided by somebody that's employed by the same, you know, university. I'm out of detox drinks. Where's coach with my drinks? Not enough time. Got to take a drug test. Failed the drug test.
So you failed your drug test because the coach didn't come by?
Well, I failed the drug test because I was getting high.
Campbell pulls away with a play fake. In the pocket, steps up, fires to the near side. Gordon goes down and makes the grab at the 21. Falling in front of Tlaib. First down catch, Josh Gordon.
He's a beast. Josh Gordon is an absolute beast. He may be the best wide receiver that we've seen.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Josh Gordon, as you know, is now a Patriot. Mike Giardi works for NBC Sports Boston.
No, I work for the NFL Network. NFL Network.
All right.
Get it right.
Yeah, that's right. I should know off the top of my head. Mike Giardi, I apologize for my mistakes.
Disgusted with you right now.
I know. I can't. I mean, everyone's going to be, their heads are spinning. They don't know what to do now. Dogs and cats are living together.
It's so true. Right in front of me. Just happened, I think.
Yeah, well, I apologize to any accidents that I might have caused. All right, Mr. Giardi. I'm just doing this with Dan. All right, Mr. Giardi. What do you make of this Josh Gordon deal? We'll just ask you your opinion to start things off.
I mean, I think first things first, it's there's not a lot of risk here in the sense that you're not giving up a lot for a guy who, well, now 5 years or 4 years removed from being, a phenomenal player in this league, maybe he comes in here and gives you something that you didn't have, or maybe he gives you what he gave Cleveland in 2013. So I don't think there's a ton of risk in there on their side, because if he doesn't work out, if he can't toe the line, if he can't stay clean, you cut him, and you really didn't give up much for him.
Mike, what do you know about his last days with the Cleveland Browns? Because it doesn't sound like this was a big enough last straw. Because from what I'm reading, it sounds like they felt he was dishonest because instead of doing a photo shoot for his clothing line, he filmed a hype video, which to me doesn't sound like the type of thing which would make you go, well, this is the final straw. Is there anything else that we don't really know about that hasn't been reported?
To this point, that's the story I've been given as well. But I just think you're looking at Rich, a situation where he hasn't been honest with them before, repeatedly. So I don't know if he was told by the team, like, look, man, from here forward, you got to be above board with us, and he wasn't. Or they just said, this is like the 56th time that you haven't told the truth to us, or you've put the team at risk because of your actions, your selfish actions, and we've had enough. I mean, John Dorsey's the new GM there. Dorsey wants a clean house anyway. So, obviously Gordon's talent warrants the idea that you want to keep him around for a little while. But if it's not going to work, if he's not going to toe the line and not do it the way you want, then, there's the door. See you later.
Okay, how was his hamstring deemed severe enough to not play on Sunday, but yet when he was tested yesterday by the Patriots, he was deemed ready to play?
Well, as far as I know, Patriots haven't given him the physical yet.
Well, regardless,
he got an MRI that said it wasn't that bad. I don't believe that the hamstring was a massive issue. I think, again, to me, the real root of the story, the real last straw, is you just didn't tell us the truth.
You think they could have kept him healthy for the trade? Like, I mean, this is like the hamstring is just a ghost issue that the team came up with in order to keep him healthy.
Yeah, Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense when it comes to how he is physically.
Yeah, he wasn't hurt.
He's had
hamstring. He had a hamstring when he finally showed up at camp. He had a hamstring. So it's not as if they're stretching it by saying, oh, he's got a hamstring issue here.
Okay, so let's say that Josh Gordon buys in, at least for the first couple of weeks when he gets here. What should we expect physically out of him? They're saying he might play as early as Sunday. What should we expect as far as just him being able to perform on the field?
Well, I don't think they'll ask him to do too much. You know, I think in terms of what concepts they're going to give him and what they're going to ask of him, they need a boundary receiver. They need someone who can stretch the field. Even though I know Felger scoffs at that, but someone who can open up space underneath for someone like Rob Gronkowski, and you can't ignore him. Even though I don't know that we necessarily know what he is as a player right now, you can't ignore him because of past history and because of his physical ability. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of stretch the field. Maybe you'll see a bum screen or two where they just get the ball in his hands and see if he can make people miss or at his size run some people over. But I think that's sort of that to me makes the most sense right out of the chute.
Mike, throughout the Belichick era, they've looked bad in the first month of the season, and they've been able to kind of fix things and move on. And by the time you get to November and December, the momentum is pretty much going in the other direction. But this move's something, I don't know if it's unprecedented because of the player, but it's certainly unusual, and it kind of smacks of desperation to me. How do you see it?
Yeah, when I first got wind of the trade, when I just landed in Boston, that's the first thing that came to mind is there's a little bit of desperation. And if you look at it, I think it's fair to say that exists, John, because you're talking about their offseason plans included Kenny Britt and Jordan Matthews and even Malcolm Mitchell to an extent. They were so desperate they had to bring in the corpse of Eric Decker. They've had 25 transactions at that position since July 23rd. It has not gone the way that they planned. Chad O'Shea, their wide receiver coach, told me that before the first game, that, yeah, this is not exactly what we thought we were going to get, but I like the guys that we have. They're not deep there, and they really don't have a boundary receiver. Philip Dorsett is fast, but he's not physical. They have put themselves in an interesting position at wide receiver. It's never been a great strength of Belichick to draft receivers. When you go and look at the list of people that they've drafted over the years, the Aaron Dobsons, the Josh Boyces, Taylor Price, on and on it goes. They've hit a wall here, and there is, to me, absolutely, I don't think it's wrong to say that there is a little air of desperation in this.
Well, if Josh Gordon has a big game on Sunday, don't get too excited, because I'm reading a headline in the Detroit Free Press that says, Detroit Lions need a defensive enema and then some to fix their issues. So I wouldn't be over the moon if Josh Gordon ends up having, and plus they're real beat up, but yeah.
And Fred, you know, he obviously has a ton of off the field issues, addiction. You know, people suggest he's bipolar. You know, I don't know any of that part of it, but just, he's not reliable. He hasn't proven to be reliable since 2014. So I don't know, you know, he could go out and catch 10 passes on Sunday. Would I be surprised? Meh. But if Tuesday he doesn't show, Wednesday he doesn't show up to practice, or, you know, he ends up in TMZ for something, then yeah, I think that's what his history says. He's not a reliable player at this point.
All right, Mike, there was rumors, and a lot of it circulated by our own Scott Zolak, that over the last couple of weeks, the Patriots were eyeing a mystery person or mystery receiver to make a move. He called it a Golden Tate level. It can't be Josh Gordon because nobody thought this was going to happen. I don't believe anyone knew in advance that anything of this was like this was going to happen. Were there names that you had heard possibly being mentioned for a trade to the Patriots that now that the Josh Gordon signing has happened, it would prevent that from actually happening?
Yeah, the only name I had heard was Golden Tate. And it doesn't make sense for Detroit. To me, it didn't make sense. And talking to some people, it didn't make sense at that point
right. For
Tate to be dealt. Now, look, if 3 weeks from now the Lions are looking at 0-5, then that's another phone call you make.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you might be able to pry him free. But for now, you're not going to trade one of your best receivers for – I know some people suggested like Malcolm Brown, like let's get real. I mean, they're not even on the same level as a player. So, yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye on as you go forward, because when teams start to drop out, that's when funny things happen. I mean, look at Buffalo. Buffalo took Jeremy Curley, who's, look, he's long past his prime, but he's a solid NFL receiver, and they cut him.
Yeah.
As their number three receiver. They cut him. Why they cut him? Because they know they suck, so they're just going to play kids.
Right.
You know, we got a kid quarterback. We're going to play him with kid receivers. And, you know, hopefully one or two of these kids ends up breaking through and we have something to build off of for next season.
What's the cost to Golden Tate if that was the case a couple weeks from now?
I would think a third. I think a third or a fourth is probably what you're talking, because he's in the last year of his deal. So I don't think you're talking about an expensive acquisition. You look at it, they're probably not going to re-sign him. You know, you get a third round, fourth round pick for him, you'd probably be pretty happy if you're Detroit.
Oh, Giardi, you and I on the same page. On the same page. Been saying the whole time as well. All right, Mike Giardi from the NFL Network.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, thank you so much for the time, sir.
I appreciate it, guys.
There you go. So wouldn't it be fun if Golden Tate,
yes,
was the guy that they actually got, the Golden Tate-like receiver? The Lions are going to blow everything up, which is good that they gave Stafford all that money. Because especially if Patricia finds that these guys aren't buying into his system, he's going to get rid of a bunch of them. So if they can get a third-round pick for half a year of Golden Tate.
Yes.
You know? All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stack-a-roo?
Oh, the Emmys were yesterday.
I watched it twice.
Did you really? Was that good? As Fred said, there were about how many shows that you recognized?
Five.
See, I recognized more than I thought I would yesterday. Like, a lot of them I'd actually watched, which, when did that happen?
There was only two that I watched.
Okay, well, speaking of television, Roseanne has spoiled the way in which ABC is apparently going to kill off her character on the new spinoff.
Like the way she might die in real life.
Maybe.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows what will happen? We'll get to that. Also, it was kicker Armageddon this past weekend. Everyone sucked and moves were made.
Yeah, and Mike Zimmer had one of the great great lines.
And I've got it.
All right, good. All right, so we'll have that here at the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what do you want to get to first?
All right, we got a lot to get to. Let's first whip through some NFL things that happened yesterday. The Steelers, they continue to be the class organization of the league. Antonio Brown yesterday responding to a Twitter statement by a former member of the Steelers public relations department. Yeah, let's rock and roll. What was that, the Gin Blossoms? Give me a little bit of what. Oh, it's the Zeppelin wannabe, Greta Van Fleet, correct?
Yes.
Well, the stack, by the way, is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. So this former Steelers public relations guy, Ryan Scarpino, who resigned from the position just last year, tweeted that Antonio Brown should be thankful he's on the team with Ben Roethlisberger, who got Antonio Brown paid. He said, quote, AB needs to thank his lucky stars because he was drafted by a team that had Ben, and Ben got AB paid. You know darn well he wouldn't put up those numbers for other teams. And to that, Antonio Brown retweeted and put, trade me, let's find out.
See, I feel that way all the time. There's times all the time. Oh, you think that I can't do this somewhere else? Let's find out.
I just love that, trade me, I'll find out.
Not here, because no one really bothers me, but there's been many, many, many times in my career where I'm in a bad mood or something, and someone critiques my performance. I'll go, good. Let's see. You don't think I can do it somewhere else? Let's roll the dice.
All right. Let's just show us what you got.
Yeah.
You want me to take that risk?
Yeah. I'm 1 5-year deal away from being able to not worry about it anymore.
Right. So this is pretty fantastic. So I don't know if you saw this weekend, but the Vikings end up tying the game with the Packers because the Vikings can't make kick a field goal.
3.
0 for 3. Their kicker ended up going. So Zimmer, of course, got rid of the guy and signed someone else. And here's what he had to say.
What went into the decision today to let Daniel Carlson go?
Did you see the game?
Okay. Was it an easy decision?
Yep, pretty easy.
Yeah. You sucked that bad.
Like, what a dumb question. Why'd you get rid of him? Oh, I don't know. He cost us a game.
Did they get Dan Bailey? Because I know that
they got Dan Bailey.
I kind of figured he was going to go there because
we were talking about that. Yep. Who would you rather kick for? Cleveland or a Super Bowl contender?
Apparently, got calls from four different teams. Everyone's kicker sucks. No,
I mean, would you rather kick inside or outside?
That's another good point. You'd rather kick inside or outside, but Bailey apparently got feelers from four different teams before the season started and turned them all down. So he wants to kick for a team that is going to the Super Bowl here or is going to make a good run at it.
How funny is that? And you know what? Clay Matthews called it. So if you didn't see a tackle by Clay Matthews on Mr. Kirk Cousins from the Vikings, ended up being called for a penalty because they said that Clay picked up Kirk Cousins and threw him to the ground, which anyone who saw that tackle knows it did not happen. Clay Matthews went off on the ref afterwards, and it ended up costing the game. Packers would have won that game if that penalty had not been called. Instead, of course, it was a tie. And Clay even somewhat joked at the end of his rant that, you know what, we're going to send this tape to the NFL, and I bet they're going to use it as a teaching tool. And guess what? The NFL has said that they are going to do exactly that. They are going to use it to show what not to do. As a matter of fact, that was released by the NFL. They said that it fit into the category, and those plays are going to be shared with teams by Riveron. So he's going to say they're going to reiterate that this tactic is a foul by sending that video to all the other teams in the league. And to that I say, what tactic?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What could it possibly be that he was doing? They said, as a matter of fact, they tried to define it. They said the technique of grabbing the passer from behind the leg or legs, scooping and pulling in an upward motion, and that's a foul. He did none of those things.
That's right.
So I don't know what they're talking about there and how they're going to use it, but there you go. Clay Matthews is right.
As I said yesterday, Brady playing at 41 is not going to be such a novelty in 10 years. Or soon. I mean, well, look at how long Drew Brees
is. 36-year-old quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers, for example.
Yeah.
A perfect example. Phillip Rivers is entering his late 30s. He's got another 5 years left.
Go back and watch a game in the 70s and see what they were allowed to do to quarterbacks, and then you're not going to wonder so much why they didn't play long.
So the Emmys were last night, in case you weren't watching Better Call Saul or watching Mandy with Nicolas Cage going nuts with a chainsaw. But the hosts were Colin Jost and Michael Che of Saturday Night Live, and I have not heard this, but here is a little bit of their monologue.
You know, it is an honor to be here sharing this night with the many, many talented and creative people in Hollywood who haven't been caught yet.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'll let that sit there.
This year, the audience is allowed to drink in their seats. Mm-hmm. Hope you're excited about that. Yeah. Because the one thing Hollywood needs right now is people losing their inhibitions at a work function.
All right. Sounds like it was a marvelous time for everyone.
Sounds like you got to let that joke sit there and let the tide of laughter.
Well, you got to make that over the face audience. Like, yeah. Am I speaking the right?
That was so bad.
Here?
I don't feel so bad about how I did on the Chip Chipperson Live podcast. Now.
Which I saw the intro. You coming out? You were at a roaring ovation.
Oh, yeah, I got it. People love our show. The fans of Jim Norton love our show.
Mm-hmm. They just turned against you in the middle of it.
I don't know. I hate myself.
Save that. So the
and then Nick's over there telling me how bad I did, but he can't get a sentence out. So I can't figure out what he's saying.
So it's excruciating. As long as instead of just like peeling off the Band-Aid and go, ah, it was bad. It's
you heard him yesterday.
It was kind of awful. Awful, but in a way that was kind
like
of.
He can't say, he can't, like even on the phone, I called him and I'm like, it was pretty bad, huh? And he's like, it's a tough situation.
Come on, Nick, spit it out.
You are a dick.
Just say it. Come on.
Well. I wonder why Nick, you know, isn't better educated. All right. So
drama series, winner of best drama series.
First, I was nominated.
Oh, was he? Louis Anderson?
Yeah. Okay. And I didn't win.
Oh, okay. Well.
Does anyone want to come over to my house?
And hang out in the closet where your father
David
puts you?
Hey, David Spade, you're young.
Okay, well.
Want to come over and stay at my house in Hollywood?
Best drama series, much to John Wallach's excitement, Game of Thrones.
Yes,
that's right. That was the winner, beating out things like Stranger Things and This Is Us and Westworld. By the way, if you are watching This Is Us and you have a penis, then we have a problem.
What if you watch it by proxy?
Well,
have you ever been reading and like something's on TV that the missus is watching, and there's something on TV, and then you start getting like kind of caught up in the plot of what's on TV. That happened to me with This Is Us. I've not seen an episode all the way through.
Did you watch Wallach? Did you watch the Crock-Pot episode?
No, it's nothing to do.
Oh, sure, yes, absolutely.
I'm identifying with you, Fred. I'm identifying. The Hallmark Channel's on in my house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That is true.
Well, if you watch like any of This Is Us, like I haven't seen, I saw that Crock-Pot episode all the way through.
Was it funny? I imagine that being a fairly funny
episode. I just want to see how this son of a bitch dies already.
Okay.
Like they just like teased it for like 5 years.
And I'm just any ad that says, get the tissues ready.
Yeah. Like,
oh, jeez. Well,
I can assure you I didn't sob, but I was interested until... kill him!
Well, the best comedy series, The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Oh, I love that. It must be so easy to get.
What channel is that on?
I think it's on, like, Amazon. No, it's on... Is it Amazon?
Netflix?
It's not Netflix. It's one of the other ones. Or Hulu. It's one of those.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, it won everything, so it must just be the bee's knees.
Wow.
It beat out Atlanta, which I like. I like Atlanta.
Atlanta's considered a comedy?
Yeah. It is kind of a comedy.
Okay. I've only seen the first episode.
It's a good show. Barry, it beat that out, although Bill Hader won Best Actor.
And I wouldn't call Barry a comedy either, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. It beat out Black-ish, Curb Your Enthusiasm, which this new season isn't that great. And I can't believe I'm saying
that. I'm done watching that show.
Yeah. Glow and Silicon Valley, which, by the way, I thought this season without JT Miller was going to suck. It was great. I love this last season of Silicon Valley. I thought that it was very funny.
If you're not nominating It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and you're the worst, you can just get out.
Well,
leave the scene of the crime.
Have they ever been nominated?
No.
No,
but they did a great episode about pandering for Emmys where they go to a neighborhood bar and everyone's hanging out, and there's like a will she, won't she behind the bar.
By the way, a writing for a limited series, just want to throw out there, USS Callister from Black Mirror.
Oh, really?
Funny, which was I thought
it
a great
was
episode.
Very good.
And now we know how Roseanne is going to die on the spinoff.
She's got it, man.
Roseanne. Okay, thank you very much, Louie Anderson. She was on
die from probably a heart condition.
She was on a YouTube talk show with a guy named Brandon Straka, and
nothing more profitable than a YouTube show.
Don't know who that was unless you're the new Cobra Kai show. I don't know anything on YouTube is going to make money, or your name is Ninja.
Yeah.
And she said, they killed her off. They have her die of an opioid overdose.
Mm.
Well, that doesn't quite seem like the way to bring the yucks if you're going to do that.
Well, Roseanne was not afraid to tackle matters of society.
No, she was not. And finally, Washington Redskins. Their home opener played in front of 20,000 empty seats. So congratulations.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. One quick note. As far as Roseanne's concerned, just a quick tie-in. Tom Arnold, you know, he's doing this video or this TV show where he's trying to find the video.
On Vice, yep.
Yeah, on Vice where Donald Trump uses the N-word. Well, the one guy that would have it is Mark Burnett, the producer of The Apprentice. And apparently last night at the Emmys pre-party, Tom Arnold and Mark Burnett got physical. As a matter of fact, Tom Arnold tweeted, Mark Burnett just went ape blank and choked me at this huge Emmy party and then ran away with his torn pink shirt and missing gold chain. I'm waiting for the LAPD. And at first you're like, well, Tom Arnold's obviously kind of maniac and might be making this up. Until Mark Burnett's wife, Roma Downey, tweeted, quote, got this bruise tonight when Tom Arnold tried to ambush my husband Mark and me at a charity event. Is your TV show worth it? Tom, please stop.
Well, if you think that Trump saying the N-word is going to stop his popularity, I've got a little bit of news for you. He's done a lot that is unconventional, and I don't think that would necessarily destroy the man. I mean, he made fun of McCain.
Yeah, I mean, that's
pretty much...
Yeah, that,
you know? All right.